Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton lesson, we're going deep on mono compatibility at scale with stock plugins, specifically for drum and bass mixing. And this is a big one, because in modern DNB, width is everywhere. Wide reses, stereo breaks, huge atmospheres, splashy returns, side heavy effects, layer tops, bus processing that sounds insane in the studio. But then you hit mono on a club rig, a phone, a Bluetooth speaker, or some social media playback chain, and suddenly the drop loses authority. The bass thins out, the snare gets smaller, the groove changes, and all that size you thought you built turns out to be mostly stereo illusion. So the mission here is not to make your mix narrow, it's to make your mix powerful in stereo and still dangerous in mono. We're going to build a repeatable workflow inside Ableton Live using only stock devices, not just checking one bass patch once in a while, but setting up a full session method you can use across large drum and bass projects. By the end, you'll have a mono-safe mixing approach for sub, mid-bass, drums, breaks, atmospheres, effects, and group buses, plus monitoring habits and arrangement tricks that make your drops translate properly. This is especially aimed at darker, rolling, techie, jungle-influenced drum and bass. So if your music lives on pressure, groove, aggression, and low-end confidence, this lesson is for you. Let's set up the session first. Create your main groups like this. Gig and snare, breaks, percussion, sub, mid-bass, music or atmos, effects, vocals if you need them. Then a drum bus, a bass bus, and a final mix bus. That structure matters, because mono compatibility gets much easier when you make decisions by role instead of fixing random tracks one by one. Now the first thing to build is your master monitoring chain. On the master channel, drop in utility, then spectrum, and optionally a limiter at the end just for safe listening. The utility is the key piece here, leave it normal while mixing, and then use the mono switch to collapse the signal whenever you want to test translation. You can also use the width control as a stress test. 100% is your normal stereo image. 0% collapses things completely. If you want to exaggerate the stereo field briefly, you can push it up a bit just to reveal issues, but that's a test move, not a delivery move. Here's the habit I want you to build. Every 5 to 10 minutes, listen in stereo, then hit mono for 10 to 20 seconds and ask a few blunt questions. Does the sub stay solid? Does the snare still crack? Do the breaks keep moving? Does the res still feel hostile? Do the hats get weird, harsh, or disappear? That habit alone can save you hours. And quick teacher note here, don't mix entirely in mono. Mono is a test, not a prison. You still want to make beautiful stereo records. You're just making sure the core of the record survives when stereo information collapses. Now, if you're working on full projects regularly, here's a really useful upgrade. Build a little translation audit rack on the master. You can create several monitor states with stock tools. One chain for normal, one for mono, one for mono plus a slight low pass, one for mono plus a slight high pass, and one that helps you focus on the sides. You can fake all of this with utility and EQ8. Why is that useful? Because mono tells you what disappears. Mono plus a low pass tells you whether the groove still works, when the shiny top end isn't carrying the excitement. Mono plus a high pass tells you whether your upper layers are doing too much of the emotional heavy lifting. And a sides focus check tells you whether your stereo content is actually useful or if it's just decorative fog. That is a really good advanced habit for dense DNB sessions. Now let's get into the rule that matters most. Everything carrying true weight below roughly 100 to 120 Hz should be centered and stable. That means sub-bass, the fundamental of the kick, and the useful body of heavy bass hits. If your low end is wide because of chorus, unison, stereo samples, or some random processing chain, mono collapse will absolutely weaken your drop. So let's build a proper sub-chain. On your sub-track, use EQ8. Saturator, compressor or glue compressor, and utility. Start with EQ8. High pass gently around 25 to 30 Hz to remove useless sub rumble. Maybe do a little cleanup around 200 to 300 Hz if needed, but keep it simple. The sub should not be complicated. Then add saturator. Analog clip or soft sine are great options. Use maybe 1.5 to 4 dB of drive, level match the output, and if you want a little peak control, turn on soft clip. The idea is not to make the sub fuzzy. The idea is to generate enough harmonics that the bass line remains audible on smaller systems without inventing fake width. Then add light compression. Maybe ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack around 20 to 40 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 120 and just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Finally, utility. Set width to 0%. Yes, fully mono. That's not boring. That's discipline. A mono sub means every playback system still gets the note, the pressure, the sidechain shape, and the groove. In drum and bass, that is non-negotiable. Next, split your bass into rolls. One of the most common mistakes in heavy DNB is asking one patch to be the sub, the movement, the distortion, the width, the presence, and the aggression all at once. That usually ends in stereo chaos. So instead, split it. Sub handles weight and center. Mid-bass handles character, movement, and stereo interest. If you've got one big bass sound, duplicate it. Name one track sub and the other mid-bass. On the sub version, low pass around 90 to 120 Hz and keep width at 0. On the mid-bass version, high pass around 90 to 120 Hz and now you've got room to shape stereo more creatively. This alone is one of the biggest upgrades for translation. This audio version is shortened for playback.